Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's an episode number 521 of Shirts and Skins After Dark. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag discusses some indifference on UFC 278. At 12:30, it is the number 7 team in the Horns College Football Top 20, the Baylor Bears. And in mere minutes, the NCAA's influence on college football continues to vanish. Big Ten announces their massive new TV deal. And we now know how many games Deshaun Watson is sitting for this upcoming NFL season. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is a guy who can talk hoops, sports, music, and a whole lot more. He pushes his pee all over B&E every morning, and he helps make this show better a couple times per week. It is Isaiah Collier. What's up, Zay? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Trey. Shout out to Jake Plummer. I'm going to start doing shrooms now.
Okay, let's get back to that in just a second. Sitting across from me is the Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie, who may speak your death into existence if you deny the existence of psilocybin. It is Chad Hastings.
You damn right. Yeah, we're going to put a pin in the Jake Plummer comment because I definitely want to find out about that one, too. Hope everybody is having a good Thursday. Lots of football to get into as we get closer to the season. 16 days till Texas plays ULM. And, of course, that first big weekend, we've been talking about a lot of interesting games on September 3rd. We are 16 days away from that. And as you hear the voice guy tell you, 9 days away from that first weekend of college football. Not as spicy as September 3rd, but it is still college football. It will be fun to have it. All right, Isaiah Collier is here today making comments about Jake Plummer. Do you know what he's referencing here?
Ish, although I don't know the specifics that he saw that triggered the comment, which is what I'm curious about, because you and I spoke with Jake Plummer.
Yes.
During Radio Row, he was on with a former military vet, and they were talking about, I think it was a mushroom supplement, but it was like legal mushrooms. It wasn't psilocybin.
Yeah.
But I've also heard about him going through psychedelic experiences to get to the point where he is now. And remember, the big story with Jake Plummer on Radio Row this year was the fact that he was like really scraggly with the beard, the hair was growing out, like he was unrecognizable.
Yeah, he was mountain man Jake Plummer.
Mountain man Jake Plummer. That's a good
so
way to
So what's
think
the
about
latest
it
story, Isaiah?
Yeah, Jake Plummer, who's around 45 years old, he retired early in the NFL, has his own little mushroom farm in Colorado.
Yeah.
And this guy says that he's going to live up to 100-something years old. And when he's 100-something years old, he'll be doing backflips and jumping off trampolines and stuff just because of the shrooms he's taken, plus the diet that he's on, et cetera, et cetera.
So he's predicting he'll be the next Jack LaLanne because of magic mushrooms. That's fantastic. Jack LaLanne, way back in the day when I was a kid, was that guy, that old guy that was in incredible shape. And Jack lived to be like late 70s, early 80s at least. And he was still like in good shape and he'd do exercise videos and all that kind of stuff. So, hey, more power to him. More power to you, Jake.
I have no idea about the increase in lifespan from doing a lot of mushrooms, but I guess Jake Plummer is going to be serving as one of our guinea pigs in that regard.
You know what? It's not even important that it extends your life. You know what the important part is? It makes you think it will. Right?
Perception is reality.
Hey, man. One of the easiest things to change is your perspective. If you think you're going to live to 110, man, things are a lot cooler that day.
Yo, if Jake Plummer went out and said, look, I don't know how long it'll make you live, but it'll definitely make you run that quarterback bootleg that I used to run to a tee.
Whoo, man, I'm telling
you. If you pop him.
He had that one down.
Jake Plummer. Old school Jake Plummer?
Arizona State.
Oh, man, they had some serious teams. I think it was a Rose Bowl team with Jake Plummer, maybe? I think that best team might have even either got just shy of there or actually went to the Rose Bowl. That was a nasty good team with him. Hope you're having a good Thursday.
Real quick, not to get too much deeper into this, but the psilocybin thing is fascinating right now with regards to some of the positive impacts that psilocybin and other psychedelic therapies are having on things like depression and anxiety and the long-term ramifications of brain injury suffered playing sports and things like that. Jake Plummer was one of those early guys on CBD and cannabinoids and how beneficial they can be for dudes. So I'd pay attention to what he is doing in that realm. Like, obviously, we're going to laugh about the fact that he's saying he's going to be doing backflips at 115, but look at what Tom Cruise is doing in what is he in his 60s now, late 50s, early 60s? I mean, he's right around there, and he is still moving like somebody who's in their 30s or 40s and still looks great, too. Is there a little bit of surgery? Maybe, but he's also taking exceptional care for himself. So we're seeing a lot of advances right now technologically that are giving people the ability to age at a much slower rate.
Yeah, there are definitely some former NFL players that we've already talked about, but that we continue to add guys to the list. Former NFL players that when they start talking about marijuana, when they start talking about cannabis, when they start talking about things like that. Kyle Turley was already on that list. Ricky Williams is certainly on that list. And now, after the last couple years, Jake Plummer's on that list.
Agreed.
I agree with you. Listen to him if he starts talking about some of that kind of stuff, because certainly Jake Plummer knows about the damage that can be taken in the NFL, and he and a lot of folks are trying to do something about that. And I hope he lives to 115. That'd be incredible. You mentioned Jake Plummer like banging around at 115.
Yeah, you want the mountain man dude living to 115.
Oh, my God.
He's going to have some sage advice living on top of the mountain at a certain point.
Hey, do you know Jake Plummer's 115? He's still doing a podcast? No, man, I didn't know because I got to check it out. Yeah, it's called Mushroom Time. It's awesome.
Mushroom Time.
It's going to be great.
Simple.
All right, so a lot of things to get into today. Why don't we go ahead and jump right in, because there's some monstrous college football stories.
Jump right in. Brought to you by Apple Leasing. Apple Leasing, home of the easy lease. 512-346-9977 or click appleleasing.com.
Well, Trey, since you are one of the biggest fans of this discussion, I will let you pick either of these stories. I think they're both very interesting. They kind of head off in different directions, but which of these two big college football stories appeals to you more to start off with today?
I guess it's probably preliminary discussions beginning amongst folks who are involved in the college football playoff, talking about something that we've been hypothesizing about for going back a couple years now, and that is this idea that the NCAA is eventually no longer going to have any say-so with regards to how college football governs itself.
That part, I think the more fans hear about the idea of the NCAA not running things, the more excited they get. But the basics is, can we get to a point where the playoff expands to kind of a number that makes sense to a lot of people? We thought it was headed to 12, but we all know that the vote didn't go the way it needed to go, and it ended up being 8-3 and all that. What this story to me brings up, Trey, is a new group of people that we hadn't considered before, and how important they may be in this discussion. What we've talked about is what is officially called the CFP Management Committee, which is 10 conference commissioners. We could all talk about who those guys are. And then we throw in athletic director Jack Swarbrick from Notre Dame, because they are part of the discussion as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this story points out that when you read this story about Stuart Mandel and others reporters, not Stuart Mandel, Pete Thamel, reporting that this group is had a talk this week, the group is the CFP Board of Managers. They are presidents from all 10 major conferences and the Reverend John Jenkins of Notre Dame. So to me, this is another whole group of people. And what I don't know today, we've always said that the coaches and ADs can talk all they want about stuff, but it's really the presidents and the chancellors that can make decisions. Do you think that's the same thing here? Do you think this group has ultimately more power than a Swarbrick and Greg Sankey membered group?
Yes.
Okay.
So because they are higher up within the organizations that are being represented by the conference.
So do you think a story like this is good news if I'm the head coach or a player or a fan of Memphis or UCF's a bad example now. They're about to be in the Big 12. Well, even in a UCF, members of the Big 12, members of the ACC, Pac-12, or a member of the American Conference, of the Memphises of the world, do you think this is good news for those kind of schools, G5-level schools?
I think that remains to be seen. Right now, there are a lot of scenarios on the table. Ultimately, I feel like the SEC and Big Ten are going to be better off either telling two of the other three Power Five conferences to get their S together and to figure out the best of the rest, if you will. We probably see the Pac-12 dissolve, and they remain a part of that upper echelon of college football, or the Big Ten and the SEC could just break off on their own, do their own thing for their respective regular seasons, and then maybe we do still have that expanded playoff at the end of the year, or we play some sort of interconference championship that involves the top 4 to 6 teams with the champion of each of those little brackets meeting with the Big Ten or the SEC champ, one or the other. But it is still possible that these other schools are included in an expanded playoff. Their best bet right now with that, though, Chad, is something that Greg Sankey has started to talk a whole lot more about in the last couple of months, and that is being okay with no automatic bids, not even for the SEC or Big Ten. It just goes specifically on the rankings of the top 12 or 16 teams, however many they end up settling on with an expanded playoff, and those smaller schools being okay with that. And by the way, those smaller schools should be totally cool with that, because most years that will give you at least a couple, if not three, yeah, some year on a really good year, you know?
So, yeah, absolutely. The other thing to remember here is this group, no matter how important they are, they apparently only talked for a couple minutes about it on Monday and kind of moved on to some other stuff.
5 minutes.
We'll get into, so we'll get into some other areas that they discuss, but this discussion is big, that they may be looking at trying to structure things around the CFP and not have the NCAA ultimately running college football. Maybe they can separate it where the NCAA is running all the other sports and maybe this group or another one runs college football. So that story is out there. We'll get to that Big Ten story because they've got a big announcement. And then we got this Deshaun Watson story. There's a lot going on today.
Yeah, go ahead and get to the Deshaun Watson story, because I guess the final number surprises me a little bit. But then again, based on how this thing has trended in the last few days, I'm not that shocked.
So Deshaun Watson ultimately will get the odd-numbered 11-game suspension. It was at 6. It was extended to 11 games, and he has to pay a $5 million fine. The NFL wanted a whole season. The NFL definitely wanted him to get fined, Trey, but we do have to give a big attaboy to whoever decided this one. This is not a coincidence, kids. There's no way it can be. 11 games means he misses Carolina, the Jets, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, the Chargers, the Patriots, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Miami, Buffalo, and Tampa. And then it just so happens.
Well, yeah, what's that very next game, Chad?
That right after those 11 games, the Cleveland Browns travel to H-Town.
Wow.
Well done.
Big tip of the cap there.
Well done.
Big tip of the cap.
Had I cared more about this story, I had 10 games in my head for a few weeks, but I'll admit, even my OCD brain hadn't thought, why don't I just look at the schedule? Isn't there an answer in there? I should have looked. If I'd looked, I'd have realized, oh, that's what they're going
to
do.
You would have been able to nail it.
They'll just have him come back for Houston. So at Houston is the game where he'll come back. We'll see if there's any appeals from his side. There had been talk of him counter-suing or going after the league. But Trey, on this one, as long as it's not a full season and $5 million, I think he and his folks will probably calm down and take this one.
So for what it's worth, the $5 million is apparently the largest fine doled out to a player in NFL history also.
Okay. Now, largest individual fine.
Largest individual fine. Now he's going to be making $220 million or whatever that absurd number is starting next year. But that's still a large fine for anybody. As far as the games suspended that first game back, my first question is, what sort of reception do you think he receives from the crowd in H-Town? Because you know that's going to be as full as that stadium is all year long. What do you think the people do when Deshaun Watson's name is announced?
I mean, my gut is it is more than mostly boos. I don't know if he's built up enough cachet in Houston where they would actually give him a polite applause. I think he's getting booed.
Okay.
Houston fans, tell me if you think I'm wrong. Especially if you're one of those folks that does go to those games, and you were there, and you know what it felt like when Deshaun Watson was your quarterback. We were talking about it today. I believe he's gotten them a couple playoff wins,
mm-hmm,
and certainly has, you know, he led some good teams. Is that enough to get you to applaud him a little bit when he comes back? He will have served his time. He will have paid his fine. But there's still going to be a lot of folks that thought it needed to be one full season or more.
I think you're going to see a mix because he did provide that town with a lot of football entertainment.
Okay.
His first however many years in the league. And he led them to how many straight division titles in the process? There may have been a playoff win or two in there. But Deshaun Watson overall was a net positive for that franchise. And you understand why they ultimately split with him. They got a nice return from the Cleveland Browns in sending Deshaun Watson packing. And they feel like they may have that next guy with Davis Mills, too. So I think you specifically will be surprised by the amount of cheering that occurs too.
I would love to think they could do that. We'll see. That's week so the 12th game, December 4th is the game there at Houston. So Jacoby Brissett will be theoretically the one dealing with matchups like a Pittsburgh game, the first Baltimore game at Baltimore, at Buffalo is a game he'll have to deal with, and then that last game is interesting too to me, Trey. The fact that they threw that Tampa Bay game in there. Oh, yeah. We're going to go 10 games? Yeah, why don't we, hold on, stop. They host the Bucks in game 11. Why don't we give them 11? Why don't we have them host Tom Brady just right at the end there? So they went ahead and did that as well. So that is out there with Deshaun Watson. 11 games plus a $5 million fine. Let us know what you think of that. Somebody says there'll definitely be protests outside of the stadium in Houston when Cleveland comes in. You think so? Going to be protested by that time?
I don't know if that's going to be Texans fans. That may be, in understandably, like a women's right organization or something.
Maybe. Isaiah, you think H-Town's going to come after him? You going to boo him, or you think they're going to welcome him back?
I think it's going to be like how people treated O.J. Simpson.
Oh, wow. Really?
I think it's going to be divided like that.
What about like a Barry Bonds reaction where the home crowd – loves him, but everybody else got on him. See, that's been my thought of it. I'm thinking the Houston fans are going to disconnect themselves from him. But you're saying, Trey, you're saying they're going to remember the time.
Generally speaking, you are going to get a negative response to Deshaun Watson from away crowds. I think you will get a mix in Houston,
mix.
And maybe even some more cheers than you do boos.
So we got those stories out there today, and let's throw one more out there because the Big Ten has thrown a little flex at us. No, not our high school coverage flex. They've done it with the E in there. They flexed with their TV deal. They finally got it done and completed, and they've even got room to expand if they need to. This is easy math, even for me. 7 years, $7 billion for the media rights agreement. And Trey, Fox, CBS, and NBC are the three networks that they've agreed with. We've talked about some of the ideas, and now we're literally getting it mapped out for us. So the Big Ten is ready to roll. This will take over officially in July of 23. And then once they get into like year two and three of this is really where all the teams are going to see the chunk of money really show up.
Yeah, and they're smart to really let people know right now which game is going to end up on which channel when. Like saying that the Big Noon kickoff is going to stay on Fox, that 2:30 game CBS, which is obviously traditionally where we're tuning into CBS, and then that night game on NBC, which I think is going to dovetail nicely into them expanding their relationship with Notre Dame if they don't ultimately end up bringing Notre Dame on board as a part of the another expansion within that conference, which is something that is now also back on the table, according to sources that spoke with Pete Thamel after the deal was announced.
I think this is tremendous news for Notre Dame because no matter how this goes, there's no way Notre Dame gets left out.
No way.
One way or another, they're getting big money from somebody and they're going to have a good home.
And I feel like at this point, Notre Dame is not going to end up in an official allegiance with anybody. Like, they will have some sort of partnership, like what's going on with the ACC right now with the Big Ten, but they'll be allowed to stay independent at this point, and that's their best play, too.
Also, speaking of best plays, apparently the Big Ten and NBC stayed in touch with Notre Dame through the whole process and told them what they were looking at doing, and Swarbrick brought up a phenomenal point about why this is good for Notre Dame.
Why?
Which is, if you put other college football games on NBC, they can promote Notre Dame's games and tell you when they're on. Right now, Notre Dame, in terms of a college football channel, is just the Irish. They don't really, and then there's Sunday night NFL,
yeah.
But those two crowds don't necessarily fit together. This way, you got a Big Ten game. By the way, Notre Dame sometimes plays Big Ten teams. That helps too. So I think it helps to tie those things together. Peacock's going to be involved in this deal. There's going to be a ton of Big Ten content that'll be streamed on Peacock, the lesser games, basketball games, other games that just like now we're seeing with ESPN Plus and some conferences. So this is a huge deal. And they are still, there's apparently provisions in there in case they do want to expand past where they are. But Trey, in this format, they're saying the 16 teams, once they get everything set and rolling, the 16 teams in the adjusted Big Ten could be looking at 80 to 100 million a team. The last report they gave was 54 right now for the 14 that they have now. Mm-hmm. So you're going from 54 mil, it's kind of like what we talked about with this new SEC, 54 mil all the way up to 80 to 100 per team. That's incredible.
That is a huge number, obviously. Now, do you think the unnamed source that told Pete Thamel that they are still strongly considering expanding, do you think that is legit, or do you think that's more of a smokescreen to try and keep the SEC and everybody else on their toes?
I think it was Phil Knight.
Phil Knight was the unnamed source.
I think Phil Knight leaked
Big Ten source.
I think Phil Knight leaked it. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, my hope for this is that certain parts, that these parts of the conversation can kind of calm down a little bit. These two stories today, to me, they kind of run alongside each other, but to me, they represent different versions of a story. If the one version could be the Big Ten grabbing this team and that team and building up to 20 teams or 24, and then you're headed more towards what you've talked about. Is it one major conference? Or is it two? Is it four? But it's no more than that. Or is it the other side of this where there's a bunch of school presidents out there with real power that can say, no, we're going to include the G5 here and we're going to have 10 conferences. And in theory, if a Coastal Carolina is good enough and ranked high enough, they can play in the playoff. They just have to earn it. Like, those two worlds to me are separate. That's
right.
Two different discussions. I am a little more, as you know, I'm on that old school side. I don't want to see the Pac-12 go away. I don't like the idea of it just vaporizing. And I like the idea that in certain years, those teams might be, that a lesser, quote, lesser team might be able to jump up and bite somebody. I would love to be to that. I root for a team that's in the SEC. Their big rival that I want them to play forever is about to come to the SEC. But I don't want to just live in a world where I watch the SEC and maybe the Big Ten, and that's all that's supposed to matter to me. I think that's going to make that to me is going to be a little bit of a sad version of college football.
Then you should root for the Big Ten and the SEC to stay at 16 teams apiece.
Absolutely.
I think if both if one or the other expands to 20, it really increases the likelihood that everybody else gets left
yep.
out.
Hallelujah, brother. That every time I hear somebody say 20, I get a little shiver. I get a little chill.
I'll admit, as somebody who is rooting for a scaled down versions of things, I don't like hearing the numbers 20 or 22 also. It's just entirely too many. What are you doing with a conference then at that point? Because you're going to have to break them into sub-conferences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great point. Let us know what you think. The Specs text line is always there for you, 337-3776. Two massive college football stories, plus a huge NFL story with Deshaun Watson getting his punishment, 11 games and $5 million in a fine. Coming up next, though, we'll go back to college football. Don't worry, our Horn Top 20, we haven't forgotten about that. We hit our number 7 team. Are we overcooked? Cooking them a little bit. Probably, but they did win a conference title last year. We'll talk about them on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
I missed it the first time. Trey, you ready to sing this one for the people?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? You ready? You pumped up? Got your best Billy ready? Come on now. Give him some pumpkins on a Thursday. Here we go. Come on.
Today is the greatest day I've ever known. Can't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow's much too long. After my eyes out. Before I get out.
Oh my God, that was fantastic. I don't know. What
Not as good as my Bob Dylan, but...
I don't know what everybody else heard. Here's what I just heard. That sounded like if Steve Carell was cast as Billy Corgan and gave a flawless performance. That was beautiful. I mean, that was wonderful.
I've had years of practice. And this is a great album, by the way, that the song today is on.
Oh, yeah. And this is one of those super complex album names, isn't it? Doesn't this one take a while, or is it a short one?
No, they did have some of those. This is a shorty. This is a two-word.
Okay. I don't know it, though. So, obviously, this is Smashing Pumpkins, for those that don't know.
Yes.
And is that song just called Today?
Correct.
Today, exactly.
All right. Okay. I don't know this. I don't know the album. I'll know it when you say it.
Siamese Dream.
Okay.
Glad Travis from Hayes City Store was amused by that one. Just got a text. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, that was well done. No, that was because you fully committed to all however many bars that was. That was well done.
So that album, Siamese Dream, has Today. It has Cherub Rock. It has Disarm. There were a bunch of other good ones that I'm not going to name. But my favorite title, and it's a great song too on that album, is Silver F.
Oh,
but it's the
nice.
Actual F word.
What is the Rat in a Cage song? What's that one called? That's not that album though, right?
Is that Bullet with Butterfly Wings?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's the album Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness that I believe is a double disc.
Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. What a great title. All right, Smashing.
I've just gone you on the Smashing Pumpkins.
That was well done. Yeah, you went total music nerd on them.
Yeah.
The imitation was perfect, and then you just give me the full history? That's awesome. Smashing Pumpkins starts us off today on a Thursday. Lots of good text rolling in on the Specs text line about different stuff. We had the Deshaun Watson story earlier, 11-game suspension and $5 million fine. Somebody texted, they're going to boo the hell out of him because the Texans fans are so sick of the entire structure in Houston, they'll boo the whole damn production, says one texter.
You know, that's interesting. I've spoken to a couple Texas fans this offseason who are also season ticket holders, and it was weird because I expected a similar reaction out of them, but it sounds like they're content with the direction things are headed in right now, and they're just glad to be done with Deshaun Watson.
By the way, we have a consensus among the texters. They think it sounded like Cartman doing Billy Corgan, so that's a better compliment.
Good call by those of you people who texted that in. That is a great one.
That is well done. Yeah, somebody says that once they heard the story today about Deshaun Watson, that they and a friend, it says, was holding or they were looking for tickets and thinking about going. For friends and I planning to go to a Texans road trip, we just went online and bought tickets to the Texans and Browns so we can cheer on the Texans and boo Deshaun the molester is what he calls him in the text.
Okay, so maybe there will be a lot more hostility.
It's a good point, too, by that one texter. It's also the full structure of what's gone on there.
Right.
The Deshaun Watson thing really was almost like a cherry on top of just the Sunday of madness they were having to deal with. The DeAndre Hopkins thing and the O'Brien situation, the guys they got rid of, what they got back for the guys they got rid of. It was just all a joke to them. And then you put Watson on top of that, I think they're pretty sick of it. So that's why I say it's going to be at least an 80-20 sea of boos for him.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll bring Bill O'Brien back and do some sort of commemoration with Bill O'Brien's time with the Texans.
Oh, my God.
Halftime of that game, just to really work up a hostility.
You want that place to burn by the end of the night?
Exactly.
You want them to rip seats out of that joint?
Exactly.
Is that what you want? All right, lots of football on the board today, including us giving a little love to a team right here in the region that makes it to the Horn Top 20, number 7. Spot. Is it too high? Well, we'll discuss it. Let's go.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 7, the Baylor Bears.
Oh, yeah. Line those freshmen up. Get them ready. Here they come, Trey. Running full speed across the field, half of them dressed like crazy animals from McDonald's. That's one of my favorite traditions now in college football.
It is quite a scene.
It is amazing to watch.
Good fight song, too.
Yep, solid fight song, and boy, what a solid coach. Third year for Dave Aranda. Some thought that this, you know, some thought maybe it wouldn't quite work out at Baylor for him. Was he really ready for this kind of a challenge? Some thought maybe he'd use it as a springboard and leave.
Yeah.
But he is in his third year now, and you and I got a chance to interview him at Big 12 Media Days. That is one impressive dude. I've said this about many coaches over the years, Trey, and some players too, but...
We talked to Dave Aranda.
Didn't we have Dave Aranda?
I don't believe so.
All right.
Man, if we talked to Dave Aranda...
No, we didn't. You're right. I'm sorry. We did not.
You just had a reverse Chuck Norris moment there.
I did. I totally made up an interview out of nowhere. We talked to Dave Aranda. We talked to Mike Gundy. We talked to... Y'all didn't hear all those?
Bijan Robinson.
Three times. We talked to Bijan Robinson. It was amazing. But Dave Aranda is such an impressive guy. I believe everything he says.
Yeah.
I believe every word that comes out of that dude's mouth.
It's funny because he's a no-nonsense dude, but he's also a really interesting dude to talk to. A lot of times those guys are very robotic or mechanical or monotone or just really boring about things. He's somebody who's got an interesting intensity about him, and it's something that he espouses well. So it's understandable how he was able to get this program turned around to reach heights that they have not achieved in a long time, not only winning double-digit games, but also the New Year's Six game over Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, it was a great year for them, and even though there are important positions that they're having to replace on both sides of the ball, if somebody can get that done and make sure this defense is ready to go, even with some newer pieces in place, it is Dave Aranda.
Yeah, it's interesting that I'm about to use the word belief here because it is Baylor, but I believe in them. It's just how much do we believe in them? You believe in Aranda. You believe in what they've put together there. But do you believe in it enough that they're going to play for the conference title is kind of the question I have for this team. And both the AP and coaches poll think we've overcooked it. Baylor is 10 in both. So they think we've overcooked it by three spots. We thought it was fair because they won the conference to make them the highest ranked Big 12 team. But I could see the argument that maybe 7 feels a little bit high to people.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's what we've been talking about for the last week now. It's like, okay, if you don't put them at 7, who are you putting in front of them? And even though they do have to reload, they had 2 talented running backs who are now earning NFL paychecks, but the offense, in a sense, has a higher ceiling right now because you have more confidence in what your quarterback can do throwing the football. Blake Shapen mm-hmm. is a gamer, needs to be careful about going too Charlie Brewer with things at times and just really throwing caution to the wind with regards to taking hits and things like that. But he is a dude who showed a ton of moxie in the Big 12 championship game and then also that bowl game itself. Now, who replaces those talented running backs? How about Squirrel Williams? You got to love a good nickname, Chad.
Oh, give me a Squirrel Williams.
Craig Squirrel Williams is amongst those guys. So I'd like to see Squirrel make some noise.
That would be awesome. You'd like to see him squeak out the job.
That's right. But here's something that really helps that offense, though, even though they're having to replace talented running backs and a talented wide receiver also as well, obviously, is that they have a really experienced offensive line. And that can go a long ways in helping with the development of other skill positions.
No doubt. The question with Blake Shapen for me is we know it was good. Was it enough? Did you get enough of a sample size? Only 2 starts, but 5 touchdowns, no picks, and 72% completion. The kid was magic when they threw him in there. Is it enough, though? Did you see enough of it to make the choice? Aranda talked about this at Big 12 Media Days. He had such a – you could tell it was a tough decision to make. And now Bohannon is gone. Bohannon ultimately transfers because it's this version of college football.
Well, and by the way, good on them for being up front with Bohannon, too, and saying, look,
they
were planning on going with this guy. It may have happened before spring ball or maybe during spring ball, and they gave him a chance to find a new school, and now he is the starter at USF.
That's true. Oh, I'd forgotten that's where he went.
Yeah.
But it was a really interesting comment, and he just in the end, Dave Aranda just looked up at the assembled media, and he said, guys, this was a football decision. So you could tell, it's like, hey, I've seen all those throws. Seen all of Bohannon's throws, and I've seen Shapen's throws. I want his. I want Blake throwing the ball. So that's what they're going to go with. The schedule's interesting. It is not the Holy War, but maybe it's a new Holy War. Maybe it's the Big 12's Holy War. The Dirty Dozen Holy War, if you will. Baylor at BYU, game 2. They beat the Cougars last year when BYU was ranked and Baylor wasn't. So it's a game they can go win, and if they do it, Trey, they'll give themselves some momentum. They could be 4-0, getting ready for a huge game. Yesterday we were talking about, is Utah-Oregon the biggest game in the Pac-12? Is Oklahoma State at Baylor the biggest game in the Big 12? Is that the biggest game of the year? Texas OU's a big game. Bedlam's a big game. They're both later on. But that one is the two teams that played for it last year.
It may be. Yeah, you're right. That second game of the season is going to be a great gauge for both of those football teams. And they kind of have, well, I don't know if you call it a brutal stretch out. They have an interesting last four games, though. They play Oklahoma, Kansas State, TCU. I really have no idea what TCU is going to be this year. And then Texas to close the season in Austin.
Yeah, both. Yeah, they play the Red River teams on the road, and they host the two purple teams
right
in the middle. That is an interesting way to finish for Baylor. They are our number 7 team in the Horn Top 20. Give us some thoughts on the Bears. Do we have them a little overcooked at number 7, or would you agree? After yesterday's discussion and this one, I could see if we had ranked Utah ahead of Baylor. Again, because of that schedule and the potential and what they're bringing back, maybe Utah should have been ahead of the Bears.
I would have been okay with that.
Either way, yeah, kind of maybe interchangeable there. But Baylor's going to be a really interesting team to watch. September 3rd, they start against Albany, a game they should obviously be able to handle there at the beginning, getting their feet wet and getting Blake Shapen some meaningful reps in game one. All right, coming up, it is our weekly conversation with Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex from Inside Texas and On3.com. We'll do that at 105, talking Longhorns, the position they lost key guys at this week. What does Paul think is important in terms of offensive line and wide receiver to replace them? Plus, we'll get his thoughts on the quarterback and as much else as we can squeeze in. Up next in the crab bag, I got to admit it, UFC 278. Nah. Plus a great baseball stat that even I have to admit is great. On the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Trey, you got any clues?
There's no way of breaking free. That I see you reach for me.
I think I have one guess.
What's your guess?
Tracy Chapman.
That is not true. Then I see you, baby, and everything's all right. Come on, John.
Everything's all right.
Here we go.
When I see you smile, I see you.
No, I can face the world. I missed it. See? I can't even come close. This is a guy that had a hit earlier in the 80s, grew his hair out, and was in what you'd have to call a hair metal-y kind of band. This is Bad English, right?
Yeah, that's them.
Bad English. John Waite is the singer's name.
Okay.
And he had a pop hit. It was sort of like the Buster Poindexter thing, if you will, with the guy from the Smiths, and then he ended up being Buster Poindexter.
Mm.
Kind of a reverse move, though, because he went from an 80s. There's an 80s song I could play for you. You'd know it in a second.
You're talking about Morrissey?
No. I'm talking about...
In the Smiths?
Not the Smiths. It was New York Dolls. Was he New York Dolls? The dude that was singing, I think, the New York Dolls, and then he ended up being Buster Poindexter.
You've gone so beyond my musical understanding.
I went way too deep. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, but John Waite, great voice from back then, and he grew the hair out, and they did Bad English. And I did a terrible job on the chorus, so I'm sorry. Bad English and Smashing Pumpkins, a hell of a way to start the show today. Thanks to Isaiah for the great musical selections. If my wife and some other hair metal fans were listening there, they were way into that one. You talk about a hair metal ballad, bust out your lighters. Oh, my God. That Bad English tune was huge for a summer or two.
By the way, I think we need to try and get back to the lighter bit. I hate the cell phone version of that at concerts.
I still enjoy watching the 2 to 5 people that still bring real lighters.
Good
and
on
I
them.
Applaud them.
Good on
but,
them.
Yeah, way to go, man.
Yeah, you're like somebody who's still reading a physical copy of a book these days.
I can't remember which song it was, but there was a particular song at the James Taylor show where I was looking around. I thought, oh, if any crowd still got lighters, it's this one. And sure enough, there were like 5 or 7 old James Taylor fans. Yeah, I had this one. Like, brr. you're darn right, fire and rain, you know. So
also a high percentage of incense that you can find at the households of James Taylor shows, you know.
Yes, everybody did smell like incense at the show.
Much higher percentage than the Harry Styles concert in a few weeks.
No doubt. All right, a lot of good music coming up, and we also have Paul Wadlington, good Texas football conversation coming up 16 days away from kick. We'll get his thoughts, and remember, the Thinking Texas Football preview is still out there. Digital copy, hard copy. He brings that to you each and every season right before it gets going. We know a lot of you love hearing from Paul every week. That's at 105. Let's get into a quick crap bag here where I'm frankly disappointed. Here we go.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. At the very least, you can definitely expect from me that I am generally a shoot and not a work. I try not to overemphasize something or make you think I really love it if I really don't. I'll tell you if I think a UFC card's good. This one's not. Here's the one reason you're going to want to pay for this if you do. Kamaru Usman. That's it. The champ at 170 is defending his belt. He's defended it five times. I dig Kamaru. He's a really good fighter. He's a pretty cool fighter to watch. The fight is not always super interesting, though. So putting him at the top of a card, he's fighting Leon Edwards. It's a guy he's beaten once back in 2015. The rest of this card, Paulo Costa's on the card. Pretty good fighter to watch. That's kind of interesting if you're a UFC fan, but you got to be. Jose Aldo is on the card, but outside of that, I just don't know, Trey. Don't know if I'm going to spend my money. I got to talk to my UFC fan guy that we go back and forth paying for these pay-per-views. I'm not sure. I think it's my turn this time, too. So it's on me. So I got to reach out and say, do you really want this? This watered-down Dana White. Hey, guys, there's a fight every week. There's a fight in my backyard, I think, every night if I look. I mean, Dana White's got fights everywhere. So this is just one of those that... And the other thing, Trey, is before football season, I want one last badass summer card. And this isn't it. So when football starts, my attention gets drawn there. And I try to fit UFC in sometimes, but it's hard. I love the summertime when I can just focus on it and give me those big time summer and July and August. And I was hoping to get a cool August card, but it's not really there.
It's been easier to still watch the UFC these last few years because you're watching later on Saturdays, and the Pac-12 just has not been as good a product.
Now, that is true. That's true. But, hey, I got a weekend coming up this year where A&M plays Miami at 8 p.m. They kick it at 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's ESPN, too.
Ranked matchup.
Yeah, how about that? I didn't even realize it until I looked at the schedule this week. So, same kind of layout, 9 o'clock on the main card on Saturday night for UFC 278. But I'm just warning you, not the most fantastic card I've ever seen in my life. Here's something that is cool, though. Even I'll admit it. I'm a Yankee hater, but when they pull off something historic, I'll mention it to you. So last night, Trey, the Yankees trying to break this string they're in. They've been a really bad team in August, but they had an exciting game last night, back and forth affair, and Josh Donaldson hit a walk-off grand slam in the 10th. It looked like they had fought back and forth. It looked like they lost the game, given up. I think it would have been like. 8-5 or something like that going in. So they give up the runs. It looks like it's done. And then ends up with the bases loaded. He hits the grand slam. So walk-off grand slam. He is the third New York Yankee to have a walk-off grand slam. You want to take a shot at who the other two might be?
Ruth and Mantle?
I was going to say, one of them, don't think at all. Babe Ruth is one of them. The other one is in our lifetime. It's a modern guy. It's a guy you and I watch play. And I can give you one more hint.
Don Mattingly.
Nope. One more hint. He also had a brother that played but wasn't quite as good as he was.
Giambi.
Very good. The clean-cut version of Jason Giambi.
That's right, because he couldn't have the longer hair with the Yankees.
Had a walk-off granny. God, remember Jason Giambi? Remember the oily, long-haired Jason Giambi with the A's? I loved that Jason Giambi. That's the other thing I hate about the Yankees, the haircuts. I know it's their thing.
And the lack of facial hair, too, by the way.
Yeah, right. Facial hair and long hair. They get rid of all of that. Another thing about the Yankees I'm not into. So they're one of those villains I just don't root for.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm all about allowing an individual some free expression, you know. The Yankees, they tamp that down. And it's an old school rule, too, that it's like they're keeping in place in honor of Steinbrenner.
It's like Wimbledon's white clothes rule to me.
That's a great comparison.
It's kind of useless now to me. I don't know why you still do it. They did it with, remember Johnny Damon? When Johnny Damon was in Boston versus when he was in New York?
Yeah.
Johnny Damon in Boston was awesome with that hair flowing.
Yeah, boy, if the Yankees were to go white uniforms, that really would have been a problem when Alex Rodriguez was playing there whenever he was dealing with the administration issues, you know?
Come on, man. What? That is, I am so glad I brought the Yankees up now. That is, I'm going to write myself a note. Bring up Yankees more so Trey can make an A-Rod joke.
No, well, that and anytime you bring up the all-whites at Wimbledon after the story we talked about a couple of months ago,
yeah.
I'm going to have to go back to that well, too.
Yeah, that, was a fascinating story there that they're talking about. But as you have pointed out and we've discussed, if you want a complex discussion and you want it discussed in an adult manner, in a fascinating way, get the WTA to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because they are afraid of nothing.
Hell yes.
They have no fear.
It's one of my favorite professional sports organizations right now because of how they run things.
Their people should be sent into every big political discussion right now.
Agreed.
In all countries. They should be sent into the Russian-Ukrainian issue. They should be sent into any U.S. congressional issues where nobody can agree, because apparently they'll discuss anything.
You have to give them respect because they are oftentimes potentially compromised profits in the name of trying to say or do what's right.
Yep, no doubt.
Respect the hell out of that in this day and age.
Lots of football stories out there today. If you're just jumping in, we got the college football playoff committee, president committee getting together. We got the Big Ten announcing the TV deal, and we know how long Deshaun Watson has to sit for that suspension now. We'll tell you all of it coming up, and then we'll talk to Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex of Inside Texas and On3.com. We're 16 days away from Texas and ULM, and you'll hear the game right here on the Horn.